Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list.
Mike, I see you. We'll get to you here. But I want to give Eric, our frequent caller, Eric, some credit. He added something to the show. He didn't want to get on there. I'm sure if he does, it'll be about something that's not additive to the show a little bit later. But he let us know that Freddie Prinze Jr. sometimes writes storylines. I don't know if he still does it, but at a time, he wrote storylines for WWE. Did not know Freddie had that in his bag. I just thought he was simply the makeover king.
Yeah, he's good with the pin, too. Mm. People underrate his pin.
I like how we're talking about him like he's Freddie Gibbs. People underrate Freddie.
Only know him for the hits.
Yeah,
but
we underrate both Freddie's pins, Prince and Gibbs. Let's get to Mike. Who wants to talk about Steven Adams? What's up, Mike?
Hey, I don't know if y'all went over the Steven Adams thing, but I was looking online earlier and they're saying that, you know, they shouldn't have got ejected or whatever. But then I was also seeing, like, I guess it was somehow I got on Sun's Twitter, and they were all defending Mason Plumlee, saying that if Steven Adams is just a big good-for-nothing or whatever, and that Plumlee's, you know, now this savior for the Suns, and he's giving it all and all that. Something about Mason Plumlee, maybe it's his big forehead. I'm not buying it. But, yeah, I wanted to see what you thought on the whole. I don't know if you talked about it earlier, but Steven Adams, I kind of like that he's so gritty. Our team's not, you know, we have Dylan Brooks, but sometimes he gets annoying. So I feel like Steven Adams is more genuine with his, like, passion. And then my last thing, is it true that Freddie Prinze is going to be on this year's Rock the Mic contest? All right, thanks, Dale. Love the show.
I don't believe that's true. I think Freddie's got his own avenues to get his thoughts out, like a podcast.
Gary has the mic.
Couple podcasts. He doesn't have to join us.
Also, he would not have to compete if he showed interest.
Trust us. If Freddie Prinze Jr., for whatever reason.
This would be the Freddie and Dale show.
At a minimum, it might just be the Freddie show. and I would get Freddie coffee if they so chose. I'm sure Freddie Prinze Jr. could get plenty of sponsors to make that happen. But he's happy being married to, as I say, Buffy, and also his podcast. And maybe popping in writing for the WWE. As far as the Steven Adams thing, we did talk about it. Talked about they do have a bit of a history, him and Plumlee. They've had a couple of exchanges. One that was kind of typical of Steven Adams. When we watch him, he doesn't appear to be a guy who's all that interested in the stuff until you push him. Like, Plumlee jumped because of a pump fake of all things by Steven Adams and was going to fall possibly very hard. This was a couple years ago now, and Steven Adams kind of caught him, kind of kept him from hitting flush on the floor. Another time they got into it a little bit was when they were battling for a board. Plumlee shoved Steven Adams, got called for a loose ball foul, and then as Steven Adams was on the floor, Plumlee grabbed the ball and then rolled it right at Steven Adams. That didn't result in anything. For the most part, you watch Steven Adams in any like NBA dust-up, he's most of the time being, sure, a protector of his teammates, but he's also a guy who's like, all right, guys, what are you doing? Relax, relax, relax. It doesn't really ever get to the point what we saw yesterday, where guys hit the floor, there's blood. And even at that point, it's not like Steven Adams threw a punch. He kind of locked up Plumlee's arms.
Yeah.
And then it led
like
to
a hip toss.
Yeah, and it led to Plumlee not being able to brace himself as he got kind of nicked up on the head. So I get it. Steven Adams is an enforcer, but he's more like one of those guys who we always say, man, if he was really an a-hole, you know how much damage he could cause? He's just a guy who understands that he's got a job to do, mm-hmm. and don't push him. I don't think he's looking for anything. But if you want to start something, he'll be there to possibly finish it. He is in direct opposite of Dylan Brooks, who was a teammate of his in Memphis as well.
Yeah, it's perfectly balanced, as all things should be. A guy willing
Thank
to...
Thank you, Thanos.
A guy willing to dust it up for good, and a guy willing to dust it up for less than good.
Yes.
I'm not going to say evil, because this is still just
It's just basketball. Yes, you're
and,
correct.
And most of Dylan Brooks's dust-ups are just silly, for the most part.
Yes.
Lot of them... stem from the fact that guys already don't like Dylan Brooks, so they're looking for him to annoy them.
They are ready to be annoyed, yes.
Yes.
They are having a bad day because they know Dylan Brooks is on the other side, and he takes advantage of that. It's part of his thing, and sometimes it can wear thin. It did in Memphis, but he's been added value here, and
yeah.
That's why, as long as he's healthy, he's going to start.
And one thing about the Suns fans on Suns Twitter that he stumbled into, loving Miles Plumlee. No, Mason Plumlee. It's Mason, right?
Okay. It doesn't matter, but I do think it's Miles, right?
I thought Mason was always the good one. Or better one.
Yeah, you're right. It's Mason. It's Mason.
That just shows how sad the Sun season is. that Mason Plumlee is like a value. That they think that Steven Adams is just a big stiff. But Mason Plumlee is...
Steven Adams has started on good basketball teams.
Like,
really good basketball
Really teams. Recently, too.
Yes.
Whereas Mason Plumlee has always kind of been a backup or a starter on a terrible Charlotte Hornets team.
I mean, he did start early in his career with Portland, one of those Dame teams. I think that was a team who
2014?
Made 15-16. I think that was a team that made the conference finals.
2019.
Yeah, right, because Jokic wouldn't have been such a...
It was a year where the Rockets played the Warriors in the second round.
Okay.
And then the winner was just going to play the Blazers.
19,
yeah.
Okay. I don't remember that. Oddly enough, I don't remember the 2015, 2016 Blazers. But he started on that team, and then since really that point, he's been a guy who kind of goes around the NBA, played for Denver for quite a bit, didn't start because... There was a pretty good player.
What? Well, why didn't he start in Denver?
Well, Jokic hadn't come into full form when he got there. He just wasn't. It's Mason Plumlee. So
Mason Plumlee, you had your chance take his job.
Yeah, Nurkic and Jokic were in your way at points there. And turns out the Suns were like, we'd rather have Mason Plumlee than Nurkic, by the way.
But, I mean, the Suns, like, you look at a team and you're like, how is the team with Durant and Booker, like, how are they this bad? Part of it is because they start guys like Mason Plumlee, who's like the fourth best player on their team.
To be fair to them, Nick Richards was unavailable.
Okay.
So that's why he had to play.
Okay. And
by the way, because I was watching Suns broadcast, they're like, with Nick Richards out, this is really a plus for the Rockets because Steven Adams, whatever. But Plumlee, he's not going to be available. I was like, all right.
Exactly.
Relax.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
And last night, Kevin Durant, 37 minutes. Do you know how many shots he took?
12. I remember.
12 shots in 37 minutes. I think his last one was with like 10 minutes left in the fourth, and it was an 8-point game still. So they do. It's just a very interesting development where you're like, wait, who is taking all these shots? The answer is Bradley Beal and then more bench guys than you would want. Because I think Booker only took like 15 or 16, too. So. The two best guys are really the two really good guys on the team. Everyone else is kind of like an okay starter or worse. They're not involved enough. If you're going to go stars and scrubs, you need your stars to actually carry it.
Yeah. 20 shots per game for those stars. That's kind of the motto. And don't depend on, as Sean put it, the scrubs. And they were even scrubbier. Because Mason Plumlee was starting and not Nick Richards. That 2015-2016 Portland team beat the Clippers in the first round
and then lost
to the Warriors in the semifinals. So Mason Plumlee was a starter on a team who won a playoff series. that was the high point of his career.
And to do it, he beat Doc Rivers, Clippers teams.
Hey, don't give all the con. Was that a Vinny Del Negro team
or 15, Doc Rivers 16? Team? That might have been early Doc.
Yeah, it was early Doc. You're right, early Doc. When Doc was coach and the Clippers were like, hey.
Before we're up on what Doc's Clippers are all about.
Yeah, yes. When the Clippers like, we really need some stability, and I get it. Let's hire Doc and give him all the power. That worked out well for them. They were fine. Just never got over the hump because, well, Doc Rivers was their coach. Lazy J, I see you. You're really fortunate if you're going to call in about Real Madrid. That, what I've never seen before in a Costa Cultural game, that double touch on a penalty gave Real the advantage they need to beat Atletico. Atletico never beats them in a Champions League. So if that's what you're calling about, I'm aware of how you guys found a way. And the best part about that was, before we go, Diego Simeone, who is the manager for Atletico, Real's rival in the city, was commenting on Real being upset about some calls going against them. And he goes, before the game, he's like, well, they've had like 70 years of calls going their way. A couple can go against them. And then in the biggest moments of the game, another one went in Real's favor because that's just how it is when you're, well, kind of your preeminent team in Europe. Things go your way. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
I've been asked to help with a social post in making a prediction about the Astros lineup. My first thought was on March 13th. I responded with, don't we have 2 weeks until opening day? Apparently, it's going to be a prediction post, so we're being set up for failure is pretty much the case. Look, I know there's still 2 weeks of this left, so things can happen, but I need an answer from you now because we can showcase how wrong you are if you miss on, like, three guys.
Yeah. If you're like, I didn't know Taylor Trammell was really turning heads.
Yeah, what if some guy turns an ankle? Then I look stupid because I couldn't predict someone turned an ankle.
What do you think about Christian Walker's oblique? Do you think he'll be ready in time?
I've been told he's back in the cage.
Okay.
But does that mean he'll be ready to play?
Yeah.
On March 27th?
Okay. Astros doctor is going to handle this right. All right. That's what you're betting on. That's where you're staking your reputation as a person who works in sports media.
Yes, that's my reputation. I happen to work in sports media. What a reputation I've built.
Hey, at least she's not asking about like, hey, Dale, do you think you could recap the Carson Beck, Hannah Cavender story.
Ooh, we played that sound. That's a dark path I don't want any part of. Like, no. Yeah, I'd rather do
reach out to some sources about some my sources, Snapchat activity.
All my sources reside on the Miami message board. I'll just read what they wrote. I'm not going to reach out to anyone. Hey, Mario, what's up with your boy? I don't have that type of access. I'm not a booster. Let's hear from Lazy J. He wants to talk some soccer. What's up, Lazy J?
Hey, Dale. What's going on, brother? Yeah, I want to talk some soccer, but first, man, I heard that intro, man. Isn't that Drake Family Matters?
No, that...
As your intro?
No, that's...
I thought you were a Kendrick fan.
That's Childish Gambino. You mean the intro to the show every hour or just
no,
music?
No, the one this second.
Well, I don't control what...
The one that you just played.
I don't control what Sean plays. That's up to him. Stop trying to stop trying to find things. Sean plays what he wants.
No, I was on hold for like 15 minutes, you know, shortest wait time in the game.
I've never said that.
I heard that. I was like, oh, okay, that's Family Matters.
First of all, I've never said that. That's a different show that no longer exists. I've never said that about this show. In fact, when it's you, I kind of extend your wait time. But go ahead.
I got you. Undercover Drake fan. But anyways, man, I want to talk about, you know, the Dynasty team you with your hating ass. You know, they're 15 Champions League. So... You know, that game was awesome. Yeah, you were talking, you said something about the manager. If the manager would have been stopped hyping up the crowd and hype up his team to play, maybe they would have had a chance. And first off, that game wasn't even close. It was a penalty that wasn't called on a handball. That wasn't a normal, his hand, he extended his hand out. So that should have been called. That wasn't called. Mm-hmm. You know, the defense in that game was awesome. Bellingham came to play.
Didn't you guys give him a goal in the first minute? You said the game wasn't close. Didn't you guys give up a goal in the first minute of that game?
Okay. What that mean?
That means
it wouldn't even got that.
By the way, you did not score a goal in open play or with the set piece. The only time you put the ball in the net was during penalties. Consider yourself fortunate that you won. Why?
That's one game.
You stop complaining. Exactly. You're Real Madrid. It's understood. Champions of Europe, done it more than anyone else. Stop saying it wasn't close. It went to penalties.
It wasn't close. No, I give them that. Atletico, I give them their defense, their wall that they put up against. And, you know, Vinny was going back to his Brazil days where he doesn't pass the ball and think that he can just go through four defenders, which was crazy through that whole game. But, man, that was a good game. You hating, like always. You know, 90% Real's team is black, so, you know, get on board. You know, I know Black History Month was last month, but get on board.
Why would I?
You know, because, you know, Rudiger.
Why?
The Black Panther shows up again. Mm. Come on, man.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Should root for a team, although I don't have a rooting interest with Atletico either. I just watched the game. I should root for Real because of the color of their players. That's how sports should work?
Of course. Huh. You black, you supposed to, you know, stick black power, baby.
Huh.
You know.
So I should root for, Antonio Rudiger, who's German, of German descent because he's black. I should root for Mbappe because he's a French descent, because he's black.
What's the ancestors?
So if, can I find a blacker team and root for them? Can I do that? If they
you go for France, right?
I don't go
and
for
half
France.
Of them is your people.
I don't go for France, actually. I root for the U.S. because, you know, it's international soccer.
And they're France 2.0. And they're France 2.0 with the black that they're getting from overseas. Okay.
Be clear, if Real comes up against a blacker team in the rest of the Champions League, I could root for that team instead?
Then it'd be 50-50.
Oh, okay.
Whoever wins.
I'm trying to figure out what are the rules here. Thank you, ladies and
gentlemen. Gotcha.
This is why I make
it. When we win the Champions League for 16 times,
okay.
The dynasty,
okay.
Can I get you to sing the song?
No, I'm not saying a la Madrid. No, why would I sing that song?
You a hater.
I'm not a hater. I just don't root for them. If I don't root for the team, I'm not singing your theme song.
Shout out Raheel, the real MVP of the show.
Raheel's a Messi fan. Sorry.
He's a hater too.
Oh, okay. Now things have changed. Bye,
Lazy. Love the show.
Thanks, Lazy J. Bye. I didn't know that those are the rules. I got to root for a team I have no connection to because of how black the lineup is. I got to figure some things out going forward. Sean, you probably can't take part in this conversation.
No, I was fine sitting it out and watching my Duke Blue Devils take the court.
Are they playing Georgia Tech today?
Yeah. Love this Cooper Cup or Cooper Cup. Cooper Flag.
Future Texan Cooper Cup?
Yeah. I think you should have to root for Real Madrid, and I should have to root for Duke, who's down 11 right now.
To Georgia Tech? What the hell is going on with them?
Chris Bosh is out there. Derek Favors.
Javaris Crittenden?
Yeah.
What, Dennis Scott's out there too? Travis Best? They got all the Georgia Tech legends in their prime. I will say what he said was ridiculous. Unless I can find a blacker team, and then I'll just root against Real Madrid. I got to root for Vinny because he's Brazilian but black. I got to root for Mbappe. He's French but black. I didn't know those were the rules, but I'm glad I've been informed.
Yeah. Lazy J and I will just never root for the same team.
That's just how it has to be. No, I don't think it's – I think you can root for Real, but I specifically have to, at least over Atletico, because Atletico is more white than Real. Griezmann, who's also French like Mbappe, white guy. So I got to choose Real. Okay.
Those are the rules.
Them's the rules. Man, I'm trying to think of teams I rooted for that I shouldn't have in my time.
I mean, the current Miami Heat, you're
very white, and they're not very good, so maybe there's some correlation there. Who knows? Bam is Nigerian, though, Nigerian descent, so that kind of leans into why I should root for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. At one point, that team, it was one of the early Jimmy Butler's teams. They had Oladipo, Adebayo, Gabe Vincent's first name is Namdi. He's Nigerian. They had Iguodala on the team as well.
Wow.
I was living the life.
Well, national team.
Yeah. If they could get those guys together instead of having them play for America, who knows what Nigeria could do in basketball. Bam. Traitor. You know,
everyone's focused on Joel Embiid.
And no one's looking at Bam. Think what Nigeria could be with him. And Iguodala was past his prime, but they had a lot. They had like seven guys at one point. Oladipo never stays healthy. But hey, he's making a comeback. He could probably make the Nigerian national team if he wanted to. Guys, take Lazy J's approach. Root by race and race alone. All right.
Don't take his approach.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Let me just disclaimer. Don't do this.
Yeah, by the way, I was being sarcastic. Just in case.
Or at least white guys, if you're doing it,
don't
tread carefully.
Don't say it out loud.
Don't be too proud about it.
Although some of us kind of figure you're doing that anyway, but you're not saying it out loud. You're not very discreet sometimes. That's all. Okay. We'll have a couple more seconds before we wrap it up. If you have something ridiculous you want to call about, you see there are no real standards. You can do that too. 713-780-3776. We will be back.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
All right. We'll get to Eric here. He called in to give us a Freddie Prinze fact off air, but he's back. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Del. Yeah. I think Freddie Prinze is in that movie Summer Cash with Jessica Biel.
He is.
I think it won the Oscar for the greatest scene ever made when she comes out of the pool. Also, his dad was a comedian who killed himself. Also, who do you think looks better, Jessica Biel or Abigail Dye? I'll hang up with the scene.
So I do remember the scene. Don't think the Oscars have an award for best scene.
Best scene ever.
Yes, so it would be one Oscar ceremony. One time, and Summer Catch would win it. It is a scene that if you're a man of my age who remembers Jessica Biel when she was not, you know, a writer and director and creator of things, she was, hey, you're that attractive girl from Seventh Heaven who wants to break out of being the Seventh Heaven girl. You want to be in a bikini? Cool. We'll put you in a bikini. That was a time as well. I remember that scene. She was also like in a fighter pilot movie with Jamie Foxx. I forgot what it was called. They also put her in a bikini there.
What? In a fighter pilot? I guess, you know what? I guess Top Gun also basically has that.
What are we talking about? How could they possibly have done that?
Never mind.
And then there was one more where she's in a comedy with Kevin James. It became a gif on the internet for a while where he pretends to be things that we don't do anymore. I think he pretended to be gay.
Pronounce you Chuck and Larry?
I think that's what it was. We don't do those movies anymore either. And she was
there. It was pretty late to get that one off.
Yeah.
I didn't see it in theater, but I remember seeing it like when it was still new.
But yes, there's a famous scene in there where she is changing, but because, oh, look, he's gay, so it doesn't matter. She's changing in there. As far as her versus Abigail Dye, I barely remember what Abigail Dye looks like, because despite how many times you've mentioned her on the show, she probably has more mentions than several Rockets, more than Nate Williams.
Yeah.
Steven Adams up until maybe even today, it was neck and neck.
It was neck and neck.
Yeah. But Jessica Alba was one of them ones when I was growing up. She got put on all the men's magazines, not Playboy, but if you remember Maxim and Stuff and FHM, she got put on those covers. So I would still take Jessica Alba because, frankly, that's more nostalgia than anything else for me. If we're going into this conversation where we pit women against each other.
Yeah. Tell Abigail Dye to get her numbers up. Start getting mentioned with the likes of Jayshon Tate more.
Actually,
Jayshon Tate
probably less mentioned for Jayshon Tate
probably
than Abigail
because
Dye.
Of all the times this season I've said Jayshon Tate entered the game, so I stopped. I knew it was safe for me to stop watching this game.
Okay, you've probably mentioned Jayshon Tate more than Abigail Dye, but I haven't said his name more than he said Abigail Dye. I think that's where we can land. And was there anything else besides all the facts about Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Yeah.
I didn't know his father killed himself and was a comedian. But I appreciate the rundown of all the Freddie Prinze facts, Eric. Summer catch, huh?
Yeah. Hey, it's we all have a thing, a small detail or a person, a celebrity that we just weirdly know a bunch of trivia about. So today is the last day. Well, the last day on this show. I was going to say the last day ever. Last day on this show to empty the notebook on what you got on Freddie Prinze. I doubt he becomes a main character of the show going forward. So
I don't know what his podcast sounds like.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know the next time we'll talk about Freddie Prinze. So you got to mention that his dad was a comedian who killed himself. You got to.
Yes, you have to.
You know, also that he wrote WWE episodes.
That was my favorite fact that Eric's ever provided.
More than the fact that his dad was
a comedian. I already knew that one, and that one got dark and grim. I wasn't looking for that, even though I knew it. The WWE thing, I appreciate it. The other stuff, it's just Eric being Eric for the most part.
Summer catch.
I do like the reminder of that scene that's still replaying in my head right now. Less scene, more of a gif. Shout out to Jessica Biel. Okay. A guy who is less thrilled about things right now is Adam Schefter, and particularly when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. They have had a back and forth before. Aaron Rodgers has shown he's not a giant fan of Adam Schefter. Well, Adam Schefter was on ESPN Milwaukee, and a discussion was asked. The people in Milwaukee and Wisconsin still care about Aaron Rodgers, so they asked him about Aaron Rodgers' next stop. And we talked yesterday about Doug Whaley, the former GM, saying Aaron Rodgers was holding the Steelers hostage. Doug Whaley, former Bills GM. Schefter really wants Aaron Rodgers to make a decision. Get to it already. Here's Schefter with the latest on Aaron Rodgers.
Adam, what are you hearing about Aaron Rodgers, and is Minnesota in play?
I think Aaron Rodgers right now, I think the primary options are the Steelers and the Giants, and then does he want to play before we even get to Minnesota, right? Like, I know he's, I know that we've, I think people have come to the conclusion that he wants to play, but to me, this shouldn't be that hard, right? Like, the Steelers want you. The Giants want you. We're seeing players across the league make decisions. It shouldn't be that hard. Either you want to play or you don't. You want to play Pittsburgh or you don't. You want to play in New York or you don't. Like, Chewy, what are you going to have for lunch? You're going to make a decision, you're going to drag it out for 4 days, 5 days, a week. Like, it's not that hard. Make the decision and live with it, right? Like, you're never going to be perfect. And so my guess is he wants to play. My guess is Pittsburgh's the leader. But I don't know what Aaron's thinking right now.
He went on to kind of soften what he was saying. Hey, Pittsburgh and New York, they can wait. They're not really missing out on anything. Is it just he doesn't want to have to check in on what Aaron Rodgers is doing? I would get being exasperated by having to check with your source and go, hey, has he made a decision? But we talked about it yesterday. It's been 5 days. Who cares? What? Why does he have to be announcing his next move within days? There are other free agents out there who haven't made decisions yet. We know this is strictly about him being the quarterback and being Aaron Rodgers, but does everyone need to make a decision within the next couple of days?
Yes.
Like Teron Armstead is considering whether he's going to retire or not. Does he need to pick it up? Pick it up.
Yes.
Who are you going to play for?
Adam Schefter clearly has a vacation he has planned.
And he can't go anywhere. He doesn't want to be on vacation when Aaron Rodgers announces.
Yes, he's taking his family to Jamaica for his kid's spring break.
The DR maybe for Adam Schefter?
Yeah. I don't know. We talked about it. Like, it seems weird how everyone thinks it's some unholy sin that someone needs to take more than 3 days to sign with.
Hey,
the
Justin
team.
Reed hasn't made a decision either. What's the deal?
Has he not? I thought he signed with the.
No, you're right. He signed with the Saints.
Take yesterday, though. Oh,
when Adam Schefter had that report.
Yeah, chop chop.
Or that hit with the ESPN Milwaukee. Yeah. So I'm glad Justin Reed finally made his decision.
Yeah, Reed probably heard this and he was like,
I know when Adam Schefter on my ass. So let me
just sign with the Saints.
Well, the Saints always trying to stay somewhat relevant when everyone for half a decade has been like, guys, pack it up. They got a couple guys to take pay cuts to make room because the Saints will never accept their fate.
No, they're never going to have the, like, step back, take your medicine year.
They're not about it. Not about it. So maybe you guys are waiting on pins and needles, bated breath, to see where Aaron Rodgers is going to go. You're not alone. Adam Schefter needs that decision to be made.
Is this just the difference between what Adam Schefter's job is, which is to report the news first?
I think so.
Versus our job, which is to
talk about what happens.
Talk about what happens. And we're like, honestly, if you want to wait until tomorrow so we can talk about it tomorrow, that'd
well,
be great.
That didn't cross my mind. Oh, I got a chance to fill a segment. That wasn't about it. I just think the immediacy of his job and what he's trying to do and the, I guess you want to call it the pressure of the job, be first. And he wants to break the Aaron Rodgers thing, even though it'll be. I guess he'll do a hit on ESPN talking about it, what went into the decision, but he'll just have to move on to the next one. For him, it's the last big name.
Yeah, I think that's
unless a trade comes down.
He wants to not be literally off the clock. I don't know if he's actually going on vacation, but I think it's there is a level of like pressure of like I have to report the last big
last consequential
you know,
free
the last,
agent.
And then, you know, where Teron Armstead goes, since we already mentioned him. Like, I'll let
Rappaport.
Yeah, I'll let Jeremy Fowler get that one.
Rappaport's like me. I'll let Garofalo get that one.
Yeah,
I don't
care. That's more Pelissero speed, all right? but yeah. Maybe even Jordan Schultz. I think that this is us. Because I do think like on those big deadline, maybe not deadline days, but on the like free agency opening days, it's like there's guys that signed that it's like, we would have talked about this, about how this matters. Joey Bosa going to the Bills. Like, okay, that kind of matters. But also 17 other big things happened, so it kind of gets pushed aside. The C.J. Gardner-Johnson trade and the Laremy Tunsil trade, we just had to kind of wrap that in one because, you know, they happened in between shows.
Yep. I just can't wait for Amari Cooper to make his decision. And by that, I mean, get it. Hurry
up.
Get to it, Amari Cooper. Please.
Oh, my God.
It can't be that difficult, although I have no idea who's interested in Amari Cooper at all. I haven't heard anything about who's interested in him.
Let me just say, judging off the his stats towards the end of his Bills tenure, I'm going to go either Ravens or Titans.
Is he at the point where he's washed Coop?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's – I mean, I don't know if he's washed
He combined for, when you include the Browns, bad quarterback play there, Josh Allen – much better quarterback, 44 catches, 4 touchdowns. So those stats would suggest that is Wash Coop. I think he's got one productive year left in him.
He's got one more in him, and then he takes the Tennessee bag.
Hey, Houston, what are you guys up to?
They're like, we're looking at a different Cooper, all right?
Come on.
We're looking at the good one.
Come on. Amari, better than Justin Watson, I would say.
Hey, you remember Amari Cooper. Caught, what was it, like 275
he
yards?
He likes playing here.
In our NRG?
Home away from home for Amari Cooper. I'm not seriously suggesting it, but if we're talking about getting deeper and maybe getting to tier 3 for agency, you're looking for a receiver who hopefully won't cost much, which is probably the issue for Amari Cooper. He's asking for more than anyone's willing to give him. Texans, don't be afraid. Do a little sniffing and see what he might want. You have, at this point, a bottom half wide receiver core, even with the addition of Christian Kirk. Okay, we got one more segment to go before we're done. If you want to be like Eric, you can be like Eric. I wouldn't suggest being like Lazy J, other than you can call the show. You can do that. We will be open to calls in our final segment. We will be back.
ESPN. 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We got some injury news in the first ACC quarterfinal. Cooper Flagg went up for a rebound, came down on a Georgia Tech foot, had a bad ankle turn. We always say sprain because that's just the vernacular. But at this point, all I know is that he turned his ankle really bad. He had to be helped off the court and helped into the locker room. First half still going on. Duke's been down by as much as I've seen, maybe 12. Now they're down by 5 with 12 seconds to go. But Cooper Flagg looks like he won't be available the rest of the way. The question will be, while Duke looks like a clear number one, how long will he be absent from play? We know we're going to be missing Amen Thompson for several weeks. Well, a couple weeks now. 10 to 14 days, I think, was the initial prognosis. 10 to 14 days for Cooper Flagg would mean he isn't available for a second-round game. And now we're talking about if Duke advances through the weekend, through that weekend, is he available for a Sweet 16 game where they're under real threat of losing? Right now, they're struggling against Georgia Tech. They shot poorly to start, Duke did. Now I think they're 5 of their last 6. So they're getting it going a little bit. But Georgia Tech in their zone is causing Duke some issues as they go into the half down 5. So that is big news regarding the tournament. Not really the draft. It's just an ankle turn. We'll see if it results in an actual sprain. But as far as who's going to win the tournament, I'm not doom casting the future of Duke in the tournament, but we'll see.
Yeah, no Jay Lucas either. So no Jay Lucas, no Cooper Flagg. I
mean, things falling apart for Duke.
Upset alert.
And one of the names from the past, Damon Stoudemire, the head coach at Georgia Tech.
Had no idea.
Yeah. So
this is a great time of year for this.
It's true. To realize, oh, yeah, that's where he is.
Damon Stoudemire, wow.
So Damon Stoudemire has this Georgia Tech team up on Duke by 5. And that leads me to this. Julian, hold on. I see you. We'll get to you. ESPN 97.5's Bracket Madness is back and brought to you by the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, East River 9, and the Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It's that time of the year to test your knowledge against other listeners and all the hosts and producers at ESPN 97.5 in our Bracket Challenge. You won't just be competing for a perfect bracket either. There will be a ton of great prizes from Two Creeks Crossing Resort, Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Gooder Sunglasses, that's G-O-O-D-R Sunglasses, Nico Nico's, Trulux, and more. Sunday night after the brackets drop, just go to ESPN975.com and the promotions tab to sign up. So maybe you feel worse about Duke. We'll have more information. Well, we won't. We're about done. But more information will come out about Cooper Flagg over the next 24 to 48 hours. We will see if his absence stretches through the rest of the ACC tournament, if Duke gets through this game, and whether he will be under that questionable tag going into their first round matchup. Gotta feel like if it's bad enough for him to potentially miss the rest of the ACC tournament, he's not playing in game one as they face off against a likely 16 seed. I guess the only thing right now is him not playing and Duke maybe losing in the first round. Does that change their status as a one? I don't think it does. But you know,
maybe they drop among Duke, the ones.
Yes, as opposed to being the top one.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen the committee now, like 20 something years ago, treat Cincinnati a certain way, but Kenyon Martin was going to be out for the entire. Yeah. Did they drop them from a one? Did they make them a two, or are they still in one? And they lost in the second round. It's a long time ago. It's been a long time.
I assume they're going to treat Cincinnati differently than Duke.
It's probably a good call on your part. I don't remember exactly how that played out. But Kenyon Martin had a season-ending injury late in the season as opposed to Cooper Flagg, who just at this point has an ankle turn. All right, let's get to Julian before we go. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jive Turkeys. Stay with me now. It's a two-part. Okay, MIB, original. You remember where the roach took the guy's skin off his body and was wearing it?
Sure.
And he was walking, looking for Orion's Belt, talking like this.
You mean Vincent D'Onofrio?
That? Huh?
You mean Vincent D'Onofrio?
What? I don't know the guy's name.
The Kingpin, the actor.
I just know that the guy.
The same guy.
Right. So, Kingpin talks like that on Daredevil, and I, every time I watch it, all I hear is the roach, and it just bothers me. I can't get into it.
Well, the Kingpin talks like that because generally that's how Vincent D'Onofrio talks. He's throwing a little extra for the role. I didn't notice that. I don't have the recall of the moments from the original Men in Black. Maybe it's because I've seen 2 and 3. So I don't know. Yeah, you're right, though. There is something there. I think it's mostly because they're the same guy. So you haven't been able to lock in on the show, though.
All right. Well, also, Reacher. Are you caught up with Reacher?
I am. I got to watch the latest episode tonight, the one that came out today. So I'll watch that one.
Man, my fiance didn't want to watch it the whole 2 seasons it was out. I finally get her to watch it, and now I have to wait. So now I'm on like episode three or four, and I'm just chomping at the bit to watch, but we're catching up on the rest. Anyways, you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Julian. I got to watch the latest episode of Daredevil Born Again as well. We'll talk about that tomorrow with Michael Carroll. We'll also have Lou Ferrigno, who is in town for a con, one of the conventions, so he'll be in studio joining us as well. Kind of work out whether we have Michael's segment come on a little earlier so we can talk movies and TV and then talk to Lou Ferrigno, at least in my eyes, the first Hulk. There have been several since, including Harrison Ford, of all people. Think about that. It's a different Hulk, but it's still a Hulk. It's a badass Hulk, the best Hulk I've seen in a while, the one who actually do stuff as opposed to wear a cardigan. But from Lou Ferrigno to Harrison Ford, the Hulk legacy lives on. Okay, that wraps it up for us. Paul Gallant is up next, preempted because we got A&M basketball starting at 2, but you'll get Paul for 2 hours, and then A&M versus Texas. Sean, have you come to a final decision about whether you're rooting against Texas because it means more time off for you and also likely Rodney Terry being away from your program?
I think the best I can do is I don't think I'll be rooting for Texas.
You just won't be sad if they lose.
Yes, I might be agnostic.
You'll just sit there and watch, and if they lose, just
unbiased.
Cool. And if they win, okay, whatever.
Have it wash over me. For
see
one
what
last
happens.
Time.
I will be rooting for our Aggies because we're the home of the Aggies.
Yeah.
In baseball, basketball, and football, we have all the sports.
Listen, that day, that 1 hour off, it'd be nice. Don't get me wrong.
I wouldn't know. I'll be home by the time your 1 hour off would commence anyway. All right. Since we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.